like what to do. We're given this life, we're given awareness and a certain amount of awake hours and a modicum of free time.
It shouldn't be too problematic.
Come hang out. You'd think.
Nah. Yeah, we can make a problem out of damn near anything.
Yeah. So you can look at the metaphor of fasting mind, because it has some utility. Again, it's kind of, bass ackwards. But it's useful at least to set a tone for contrast's sake. A mind that finds objects is can't help but to incite the world. That's the package.
Meaning, make it real.
The mind incites the world. You could say that's what we refer to by mind. Objects are found in, call it awareness or conscious contact, whatever metaphor or tradition you like to use. And the faster than light speed with which objects found in attention excites or entices or suggests the world is all at once. It's not, there's no delay. The arising of the world is all at once, unbidden, arbitrary, more or less, impersonal, and fantastic beyond imagination. So, left to its devices, if we could, as we could appreciate just the dumbfounded startlement of mind being the enticement or excitation creation of the world, that's nice, because as you, let's say, place things in a more inclusive package, you're capable of grokking, I think is a fairly good word, grokking the inclusivity of the arising of the world. And that's kind of nice, because then it's not like I'm doing it or something else is doing it or here's how or why it's happening or what the consequence is. None of that. The intelligence that's capable of witnessing its own arising is, you could say, a sated intelligence. Because it's not looking for particulars, something to, have a fight with or execute or a plan for itself in terms of, let's say, seeking security or explanation. So a fasting mind could also be said to be a sated mind. It's not necessarily empty or without, but it can also be felt as so deliciously inclusive that it's not distracted. The distracted mind has become inebriated with contrast, and contrast is space, time, body, mind, self, world, contrast. And contrast, or the addiction to contrast, that's samsara. And that occurs before you have a bad hair day. You could say a samsaric predilection. Because once you've found objects and operating through distractibility, then self and other is also present. not because of, but see, it's a package. It's just a spontaneously appearing all at once package. A fasting mind can be relaxed from completely relaxed from contrast. Or though it may be capable of appreciating contrast, it doesn't turn contrast into a story of self. A sated mind is capable of, you know, emptiness in form as a simultaneity, and again does not enter the samsaric stream. That would be a mind of inclusivity. And they're the same. The fasting mind and a mind of inclusivity are the same. Both you could say, relaxed from the impulse to, right, row, row, row your boat down the samsara river. That's pretty much it. It's really it. The distracted mind, by virtue of finding objects and being understandably inebriated with consciousness as phenomena, consciousness as experience, consciousness as texture, feeling, you could say just falls in love with the magical world that it has discovered and, right, fills that world from the, you could say, point of view of self.
And that's where the, grasping usually comes from.
That's, yeah, of course. Yeah, mm-hmm. All of that.
All that stuff.
Yeah, the entirety of everything that you can find in suffering mind is that. Is the incredible intoxication of having found a world to play in as a creature. That would include, the innocence of a non-violent, heart-melting child, or a genocidal maniac. It's the same, which is, a little bizarre. Like, heart-melting innocence turns out to be, the same as, systematic evil intentions. In the yogic literature, a mind that withdraws from contrast discovers, you could say both ways, discovers its fasting nature and its inclusive nature, neither one being reactive.
Seems like that withdrawing from context. I know it's artificial, but it does seem to help when you hang out and just meditate for hours and hours and hours and just kind of shut down outward normal activities.
Yeah.
It gets a little weirder, quicker that way.
Yes.
Because you're not so lost in just normal outward everyday activities.
Yeah, that's right. A certain quality of attention is withdrawing from the demands of a busy, accelerated, world where, good evening, where you're always encouraged to, act out. Even in, even in loving, socially acceptable ways.
Super healthy snacks.
Hey. Sweet. Super healthy.
Wow. She saved the day. Skittles are limited.
Huh. Did you go dumpster diving behind the movie theater or something?
The woman that gave me the cookies gave me like 4 or 5 boxes of candy like that. I was like, what are you thinking? I can't handle this.
Yeah, it'd be deadly for me.
You still don't have any, like, water or anything?
I'll give you some of mine. But it is just over and over again frustrating when you use artificial methods and, you know, next day back at work, same old thing.
Sure.
At some point you lose interest in artificial methods, and it's like if it can't show itself in the same old, fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm on strike.
Yeah. Right. Well, you know, the world that's familiar to us, right, the world of coming and going and location and the elapsing of time and, you know, appointments made and sensations and sentiments, you know, arising like a never-ending fountain. Yeah, you could say it's damn near impossible to not be consumed by that.
And Peter would say it's one of its major modes.
Yeah, he probably would. Mm-hmm.
Consumption. So what the hell is the difference between this and just everyday Joe that doesn't ever care to look at it?
Hard to say. You know, you could probably come up with an answer, but the everyday Joe that doesn't look at it wouldn't come up with an answer. They wouldn't know to ask the question.
Yeah. How do normal people like get through without going, oh my God, there's gotta be something other than just what we're fed? How do normal people not just rattle a cage on a regular basis? I'm a cage rattler. I've been forever.
Well, you know, if you have Jesus, that's one way. You know.
HBO.
Yeah, Jesus and HBO
and beer.
Work well. You could say the nervous system and all aspects of one's experience, or the way that we engage with or engage in experiencing, goes through, well, kind of a radical cleanse.
Like dropping everything that used to have meaning. What you mean?
Mm-hmm. Like that.
It all falls away and you're like, fuck.
Mm-hmm. Like dropping everything that has had meaning.
Feels more like a, or some kind of, it feels like space, like distance from the meat puppet.
Yeah.
It's not actually, I mean, space isn't actually like a thing, it's just a felt sense. And it's interesting, it just seems like it keeps backing away from that.
Yes.
Entire, it's so not connected. There's no connection. It's just there's just a tremendous amount of space between that and the
Yeah. Yeah, space is what you'd call a recognizable symptom of fasting mind. Whereas inclusive mind would no longer, let's say, recognize, you know, some disparity. But one's not, you know, better, higher, or lower. You know, that they're disparate, that the meat puppet and this other thing is total space. Right?
Oh, no, but no, I'm not saying that, I didn't mean that, that one or the other was space. It's just that that's a range, it seems like. That,
yes.
I mean, that, and that pops in however it pops in. Like, I don't,
yep.
It's just bizarre. Mm-hmm. Like, you think to see how far, how much that felt sense of space can be felt.
Yes.
Just bizarre, you know, like, I don't know, that just,
no.
I had never been recognized seemingly by me before.
Yes.
In some sense.
Right.
I'm sure, you know, just regular, everyday, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, that's, it's strange, you know, it's, right, I mean, this is uncommonly fantastic in each moment, whether it's, you know, felt through the muggle lens or felt through the wizard's lens. Then it doesn't have anything to do with anything.
The distance, the felt sense of space is not, it doesn't have anything to do behaviorally or
with anything. Right. Yeah, that's a cleanse.
It's very obviously not what you are. Like, there's some glimpse into something that is just very, let's say, different than whatever it was you...
Yeah, whatever we took ourselves to be.
But it's just, it's crazy that, you know, we have all this insane science and whatnot, seemingly, you know, to try to figure out all these weird, and that the most seemingly dramatic shift can occur in an instant...
Right.
In your own little tiny, it's not tiny, but you know what I mean, your own little bizarre experience.
Yes, that's right. Science.
Without any tools or equipment. Or
no tool, you know, accelerators.
Nothing.
Right, not even a magnifying glass.
Liturgy, nothing.
You can't even burn ants on a hot day. Oh.
You can't create that space when you need it the most. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
That just cements you more to the meat puppet, in my experience.
Yeah, that's right.
As the meat puppet drowns, it's like, no, oh, give me space. It's like, fuck you. No space.
Yeah, it's too late for the meat puppet.
Just let her drown.
It's always too late for the meat puppet. So thought, right? That's an object found. Once you name, not even out loud, and not even silently, and even you can say before silently, it's a kind of a Velcro thing. If you put down your hooks, right? Think of mind as the hook. And phenomenon is the right, the fabric. If you put down your hooks, then you don't get stuck in the fabric.
But it's not like you don't think, it's just you don't invest in what the mind gives you. It's gonna go ahead thinking and being crazy as shit.
Hi.
You just want to let it go, and it goes.
If only you could. I mean, that's kind of like the sage advice, you know, given by you know, contemplative teachers. It's, you know, if you're in a position to let mind go, well, it's too late. Because the hook and the fabric have already, right, connected. Mm. Yeah. And yet you could say, you know, if I'm encumbered by something fleeting or, you know, something that has legs, you know, a tenacious nastiness in my own head, then, you know, you could remind yourself to let go. But I'm not sure how successful anyone has ever been with even that great advice. So the better salve is prior to having found an irritant to let go of. Yeah. The a more subtle, let's say, sensitivity or observation of the texture of arising, you wouldn't then have to let go of anything. Because
I guess it's sort of space. The analogy that I was trying to explain doesn't make sense because there is no meat puppet in that space.
That's,
you have to objectify it.
Yeah.
But you can sense and feel it coming into existence, so it feels like space from.
Absolutely.
But it's not really space from.
It's bizarre. Mm-hmm.
Insanity.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no question. There's no question if you've been invited to, you know, the space party, that you can say with aplomb that, boy, that's quite a distance from the meat puppet. Yeah, so that, you know, those kinds of contrasts are fun. I mean, that's what you could say. Those contrasts are what make insights or revelations interesting. I mean, a revelation that couldn't be contrasted to something else, you know, it wouldn't have any legs. It wouldn't be worth, you know, having a revelation over. Insights are cool because they're a contrast.
They're applicable to something.
Yeah, they have to be applicable. That's right. Yeah, pure space, that's just not applicable to anything. It doesn't have anything to contrast. So let's just say the revelation of it is you're short-lived. You know? You're not going to get a week's worth of mileage out of it.
I'm going to go very far in the void.
I mean, you know, a couple minutes maybe. You get a good couple of minutes of, let's say, true enjoyment. Or enjoyment that's fed by contrast. So the air gets a little thin. If you're not trying to resolve yourself or your issues or the world, or if you're not trying to condone or condemn a, you know, neo-Advaitist point of view, the air's a little thin. What's left? If you're not asserting anything with too much, you know, fervor or confidence, it's hard to put out a, you know, a CD series.
Let alone ramp up a retreat.
Yeah. That may be disquieting, you know, or infuriating to some. but to others it might be a really, you know, welcome kind of release from the typical neurosis. It's, you know, it's different than trying to play the you are not the doer card and then attempt to defend that. Mm. That's such a tiny, in a sense, it's such a tiny little thing to get over.
You are not the entirety of consciousness.
Yeah. Yeah.
That has nothing to do with you.
Right. If you're still working on the, you're not the doer card, you know, go see Wayne. You know, as if there's a some kind of practical discovery to be made when you finally agree that you're not the doer. You know, now it's working for you. Oh, I'm not the doer. Now it's working for me. Yeah.
Well, if you're lucky, it's just a piece of a broader recognition of what this is.
Yeah.
I would think. I mean, I'm just speculating, but.
Right.
I mean, one sort of aspect.
The it's not that difficult, you know, with a little bit of guided meditation, and I by that I mean, you know, a conversation to, you know, snuff it out. It's not that difficult to see that you are arising in your own experience spontaneously and without. Without choice or will. The impulses that are arising as sensation, as the response to sensation, to thought, scenarios, imagination, projection, transference, and all the sentiment that accompanies this flowering of experience. You mean it's not clear that that's really just happening all by itself? Do we really have to spend another 50 years trying to work that one? I mean, come on. Look at this shit. And yet it's very easy for probably most people to, you know, deny that observation with great fervor, great confidence.
Yeah.
I remember... I was hanging out with Dave and at the old Saxby's before, you know, our dear friend turned it into what it is now.
Place.
Yeah. And it was Chestnut or something. We were wandering through and having, you know, some wacky conversations. And one guy, it was real interesting. The point I was making had something to do with everything is novel. You know, this present moment is... never been here before, has, excuse me, no duration, and will never be seen or heard from again. And that's always the case. And that's like unbelievable. And we completely ignore that. And it aroused him for sure, but he didn't want to, he didn't necessarily want to go there. So what he did was he kept repeating some action with his hand, like slapping his hand on the table and saying, it's the same, it's exactly the same, it's exactly the same. And it was clear that it wasn't. How could it have possibly been the same? It was, you know, it was brand new each moment, but he kept insisting with that same repetitive motion that it was the same, the same, the same, the same. And I'm like, I think we might be like two ships. You know, I didn't know what to say. I was like, yeah, yeah, you're right. It's the same. You know. it was so curiously clear that it was completely novel. The way that he hit it, the sound that he made, the emotion that was coming out as he was trying to prove that it was the same. I mean, it was a complete dynamism, like everything is, a complete, you know, excruciating dynamism. And he was insisting in the midst of this dynamism that it was the same. And I'm like, I think I'll just back away. My work is done here. But see, it was arousing, you know. Some part of him, like, you know, got it. But then there was that refusal reflex. And then the proof. To show. The proof. And I was like, yeah, you should go see Gene Ong, maybe. Bend a spoon. You know. Do Arcturian meditation.
You really can't prove anything. It's hard to prove that, like, this is anything.
Impossible.
Yeah, it's hard to prove that it's nothing. It's hard to prove that it's anything. It's,
yeah.
I can't really...
Yeah.
Been much doubt about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you could say. That's what the aspirant is up against. It's just the impossibility of a, you know, a very, very insistent paradox.
It seems you've only really got two tools to approach that question with, like, what is this, or is this anything, or is it not? Like, the only two tools you have are experience and sensation or thought.
All of which are the same. What you have is experience.
Well, thought seems to could be like a subset of experience, I guess.
Well, just because thought opines through symbology, which means it distances itself, doesn't mean it's a subset of anything.
It's not really useful. In this context, it's not useful really at all. It just kind of gets in the way. Like, fasting from thought is more helpful than diving into it to get some explanation.
Yeah.
Or distancing from it. It's almost impossible in my experience to fast from it. It never stops. Shut up!
Yeah.
It doesn't stop.
Well, let's say one discovers the radiant capacity of attention, and you start to see that it's attention which is animating thought. So typically our attention is on thought as the end game and the implication of thought as the consuming reality. That means one is living in virtuality. Living as if the implications of thought are a bona fide realm. Yeah. So the yogic shift then is to see that thought is appearing in you, and that without attention, thought does not have a leg to stand on. So now that you've discovered attention, and of course, you know, the words are very fuzzy with all this, right? I mean, thought itself is just what? I mean, it's really just a miracle of symbological implication. It's just incredible that we can think a thing or speak a thing with the language intonations that we've been trained to use and share. I mean, you know, try having this conversation, you know, with a group of Uyghurs.
What's a Uyghur? What are Uyghur?
They are Asian Muslims that are systematically violated. It's like we think we know what thought is. And you could say categorize or dismiss it with aplomb.
Well, in normal day-to-day life, we think we know what everything is.
Yeah, that's right.
Thought among it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's why you could say we're bored and, you know, restless and dissatisfied. Because we're functioning in a mode called normal everyday life.
And heightened looking for novelty, you know, which is like obvious. Everybody's looking for novelty.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Amusement park. Super novelty. Idea.
Yeah, the Earth is basically a maggot novelty park.
People are like nuts all over Disney. Serious.
I love this maggot novelty park. Let's go on a date. Okay. So it's, you know, it's possible to see with a little bit of, you know, attention or training, call it whatever you like, that you're... that you have to construct at present the platform from which you are either inquiring or speaking or asserting or justifying or questioning. Because that whole genesis or matrix completely falls apart if you don't get on the soapbox in the first place. What, there's something to resolve? There's something in the way of your liberated understanding? How is that possible? There's something that hasn't happened yet? Why does everyone go see everyone that they go and see? Because underlying it, you can say something hasn't happened yet. What hasn't happened yet? What?
His whole life has just been foreplay.
I'm not enlightened yet. How come? It hasn't happened yet. What? What hasn't happened yet? I don't know, some kind of thing that happened to so-and-so. You know, so-and-so looked at some birds, so-and-so pretended he was dead, so-and-so broke up with his girlfriend, so-and-so was really depressed, so-and-so threw a plate of food across the world. That hasn't happened to me yet. Well, I don't know, break up with your girlfriend, get really depressed, throw a plate of food against the wall, do everything that all of these other so-called people have done, and then, you know, then see what happens. Well, I did everything that everyone said that they'd done. It still hasn't happened yet. I'm still a total loser. Yeah. That's pretty funny. What exactly is the body of evidence that we are steadfastly relying upon that says it hasn't happened yet?
So arbitrary and so slippery. It's like, oh my god. It really doesn't take much. Like, just look at it. You're like, oh my god. Ridiculous.
Well, if that's enough, to, you know, you just do something out of because it worked for somebody else.
Oh, yeah.
There's the novelty.
Well, that's right.
You know, we just have some kind of lemon quality.
Lemon.
Are you
going to
run off a cliff? Okay.
Lemming quality.
I'll join you.
I love that line. Packed like lemmings into shiny metal boxes. Contestants in a suicidal race. I love that. Another industrial early morning. It's a really cool song. Kind of dark.
What's the song? What's
this?
What's the name of it?
Oh gosh. It's not coming to me. It'll come to me. The Cure? Yeah.
No, it's not.
The police, that's it.
I saw Don Henley last night.
Oh, did you?
At Music Fest.
Yeah, I saw him.
Was he good?
Desperado.
Yeah. As the last song. And he said, this is for Glenn.
Home with Desperado.
He sang Desperado.
Wow.
I was already out in the in the concession area sucking down a sausage. I had the munchies.
You're like, I'm going to let this sausage love you.
I did. It was. I was like, Desperado.
I just thought that was the song associated with him. I think Ronstadt and somebody else did it.
The Eagles.
Yeah. Really?
I think so.
I think Linda Ronstadt is one of really nice.
Well, sure. But he also did Tears for Fears. That was so exciting. I mean, he did Everybody Wants to Rule the World.
Oh, it's good.
And nice. And he had a band. I mean, it was an orchestra, this band.
Mm.
He made a funny remark about it. He said, you might have noticed I brought some people with me. Three female vocalists.
Yeah.
Two lead guitarists. Four or five horn guys. Piano, drums, bass. And then another guy. And then two other virtual instrumentalists. I was like, this is unbelievable. So if they wanted to, you know, whip it up, they could really whip it up.
Wow.
And so they played, you know, Tears for Fears like nobody's business. I was crying.
Oh, man.
It was so good to hear that tune live with a band like that.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Like, wow.
Was it outside?
Yeah.
In the Steel Piers area or something?
Yeah.
Steel Stack?
Steel Stack.
Steel sacks, baby.
I don't think there's any peers in Bethlehem.
The steel something.
Yeah.
Is this part of your retreat?
Corn syrup. Just go ahead. Just eat it. It says like partially GMO too.
I don't care about that. I don't like purple.
It says it on the box now, partial GMO.
I just don't like the purple flavor.
Yeah, I don't like purple either.
But they all taste different. They're probably all
different. Yeah, they do.
No, they all taste different. Don't
you
know?
You can bring them.
Go ahead.
Go
ahead.
I will.
Taste the rainbow.
Okay.
Oh, we saw a rainbow today.
Oh, big rainbow on the way here.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
That was cool.
Yeah. I saw a little shitty rainbow on the way here. It was great.
Oh, you said a little shitty one? Oh, well.
Just a dwindle. It was all the way on the way on 202 heading north.
That's quite fun.
Right there.
What did Forrest Gump said, life is like a box of chocolates. You could say it's kind of like consciousness is like a rainbow. You know, it's like, it's beautiful, it's entrancing, but it has no utility. You can't find where the rainbow begins or ends.
Kind of
it's absolutely ephemeral and etheric, and yet it's absolutely evocative. And that's what consciousness is like. It's just like a rainbow. It's evocative and incredible to glimpse. But it's absolutely appearing ephemerally, without a beginning, without an end, without utility, without implication. What drives us crazy is the quarrel that we have, systemic quarrel that we have. Presuming that consciousness is something other than a rainbow.
We want to like pin it down and make it something.
Yeah. Wherever you go, you either want to mark it with urine or with a flag.
Yeah.
All of your memories are like that. All of your memories and all of the events, you know, that define who you take yourself to be or what you think you are all marked by urine or flag or whatever. Now it's yours. Yeah. You know, it's like Matt Damon colonizing Mars, right, by growing potatoes in human waste. Didn't he say something like, fuck you, Mars? He did.
Yeah. Pretty
funny.
He's making Mars his bitch.
Yeah, he's made Mars his bitch by planting potatoes in human waste, colonizing it. Yeah. Yep.
Sure urinated all over it, too.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
Mm.
I'm not sure.
So, you see, the search for security is marred by the anticipation or insistence that the destination can be found, which means you've mistaken consciousness to have some kind of utility, not appearing ephemerally and etherically like a rainbow.
And you also kind of shit all over it when you get into the future anyway.
Oh, yeah. So, you see, the pursuit, the insistence on security has to fail on so many levels.
Stop trying to preserve yourself.
Yeah, that's one. Self-preservation, right? Preservation in space-time. Enough stores for the winter, the future, mm-hmm. right? Whatever recognition or whatever you're deeming in that moment to be the accoutrements of security. If you have them for temporarily, you might have some security, but you'll notice it doesn't last very long, because everything is wasting away.
I got a rockin' spreadsheet.
For a short while, a rockin' spreadsheet, you know, can hold your fascination and appear to plot your future security from a, you know, financial planning point of view. Yeah. But see, all of that's appearing virtually.
I just have no fucking clue what this just keeps throwing shit. It's like nuts.
It's nuts.
It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, that's that very, you know, simple, unadorned observation is the whole of the paddling down the Samsara River.
We just keep recalibrating. I'm just going to recalibrate. And then this will all come back together.
Yeah. That's right.
Things kind of fell apart there for a minute.
Yeah.
I'm just going to recalibrate.
Yeah.
Change a few numbers.
Yeah. It's like relying on someone else so that you can feel affection.
Mm-hmm. Hoping to find someone else. So you can.
Yeah.
That's common.
It's really nice not to place any demand on present experience. Not to insist that it become something. Or it even please you somehow. just attention itself. The world, if there were one, is painted with attention. Attention that has found objects and then starts moving them around. Imagination, the movement of imagination or the movement of scenarios, you know, the movement of thought, which pretends to be able to have an opinion about what is or has or will occur. That's just moving symbols around in a virtual realm, just moving symbols around.
And just automatically
done. Oh yes.
No,
yeah. It's not particularly willful. Right. It's just the entrancing nature of symbology appearing in, you know, on an etheric canvas.
It's like the, if there were such a thing, deeper thought. It's all the more that.
Sure.
You know, it's all the more prescribed. It's like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So we become entranced by the spontaneous arising in an etheric so-called space or canvas of malleable symbology. That fast is the world. So in that respect, you know, thinking is... Right? A form of entertainment. Dancing in etheric space with symbology suggesting scenarios about the past which is gone, the present which you can't find, and the future which hasn't happened yet.
Somehow the world keeps bringing me back by more and more outrageous things. I think Donald Trump is at me... earthbound to some extent. Things that are just, you know, unbelievable.
Really wacky.
And here it is.
Dog diarrhea is all over your bed. That's
a good one.
No.
That flatlined the whole thing.
Oh, yeah. God, I was enlightened a moment ago. But Jesus,
when
not anymore.
With diarrhea, you just...
I was enlightened and or ruminating about something, but not anymore.
Really?
Or your cat having...
Very grounded now.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Mm. You know, it's kind of a courageous gesture to let go of the reins of attempting to make solid etheric ruminations. You have to let go of the reins. And okay, this is all appearing etherically. Well, then you're... Oh, maybe I don't have to figure anything out. Or tell myself again what I told myself again for the millionth time that I told myself what I told myself about what I told myself.
The thing is, I know that'll come back again.
Yeah, of course. This is, you know, this is an alchemy. It's not like the alchemists all got together, figured it out, and went home. I mean, they're still at it. So that's, you know, that's what this is. This is an alchemy of discovery. It's okay, you know, absolutely okay if the so-called world comes back in and entrances you. What up? Kind of like establishing a connection, TCP/IP, you know, packet switching. You establish a connection, but you don't send any data. You establish a connection, but, you know, you don't receive any data. You just establish a connection.
Everything's spam.
That's right.
Send it directly to the spam folder.
That's right. Everything goes to the spam folder. Your inbox is completely clean.
Spam.
Go out and have some spam on toast. You know, teachings appear in the realm of etheric symbology. And since everything is, you know, infinite in its own right, so is etheric symbology, which means the language, that which is found, intuited, or elicited by another, you know, word, be it Pali or Sanskrit or what have you, doesn't have any limit.
Looking at that map, I'm wondering how many kids are confused when they're told that's the world, or even that's a map of the world, because, you know, that's a jump for a little kid whose immediacy is the real world, you know. So that's like one of the first stages of symbology, I guess, is imagining that.
My brother told me it was another country across the lake from our house, and I believed him.
Oh, really?
As a little kid, yeah. It's like, that's a whole other country.
Could have been Canada.
True. It was a pretty big lake, but it wasn't that big.
Huh. Well, there are parts of the Great Lakes where if you look up, you know.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be looking at it and seeing houses over there.
No, not that far.
Your older brothers took advantage.
Oh, he was bad, and I believed most of it.
I remember.
Did you go to the Lower Peninsula? Right?
Yeah, you can.
Yeah.
You can't see it, but Lake Superior goes across to Canada.
Yeah.
You're being very gullible. In a very cute way.
The Oaks Theater from Oakmont, and they had a theater there, you know, movie theater. And it had, you know, this kind of thing on the sides, but it's kind of stepped up. And I asked my brother why that was like that. And he says, so, like, if it was a big flood or whatever, and it rolled over, you could walk up the steps.
Oh.
You believed him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You just automatically believed him.
You were just waiting for that flood to come.
Yeah.
It rolled over.
Well, that's right. I mean, look how automatically we believe what it is that we believe. Right, ongoingly, consciousness is, you know, flowing down the samsara river, paddling down the samsara river, you know, we believe what we believe.
We believe we're, like, safe as we go whizzing at, you know, 60 or 70 miles an hour with other cars, just like,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we're believing, and so far we're still alive, but I mean, it's kind of a stretch.
Yeah.
It doesn't take much to go across that line. Day in, day out, every minute, you're believing all kinds of crap. And it's all held together by your own effort. Other people are...
Yeah.
Will or won't cooperate, but it's...
Part of the, you know, curious fun of this is you begin, you know, to see more clearly, more emphatically, and how surreal belief is. That implies the world that I find myself in.
It's fun when you start to notice it kind of fucking with you. Not in a nasty way, but in a, in a, like, wow, that's weird way. Like, weird coincidences, or just, like, stuff popping up, like, oh, yeah, it's winking at me again. Kind of making fun of me.
It's always winking at you.
Mm-hmm. You know what? It's fucking with you in a nasty way.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
What? You don't get the joke? Come on.
Yeah. Your plane's going right into the Pacific. Wink.
Wink. Your dog's going to shit all over your room. Double wink.
Wink. Not giving him so much fruit.
Double wink.
Oh.
Well, that's.
But it's also arbitrary.
It's better when that happens when you're late for an appointment.
Oh yeah, no, it's so arbitrary. The whole, it's like, obviously, you know, it's just whatever you are imaginarily acclimated to in some weird way. Seems normal, and then you just, it's just arbitrary kind of degradations of whatever you make up from there.
Yeah, yeah, the half-life is really fast.
Yeah, it's like, what?
Everything's just falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
It's inception all over again.
It just keeps moving, but it's not really moving. It's not going anywhere. It's just...
Yeah. Right. Right.
That's why it can be fun to include weird things like CERN and whatever, because you're like, really, you're like, you're trying to analyze your behavior. I mean, maybe there was just some kind of weird glitch in a gravitron or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
that made this look like this.
Come on, I don't know. You know?
Yeah, I know. Well, they're real. I mean, there's no end to how, you know, how etherically weird phenomena can be.
Yeah. Which is incredible that we actually mostly remain in such a limited.
How do we do that?
Normal small frame.
Yeah.
Like,
how can it appear so normal and predictable is kind of the magic of it.
Well, thank God for rock and roll.
Has anybody heard the latest Neil Young album? Mm-hmm. It's like 98 minutes long or something like that. It's a turban interview with them. It's a guy that does interviews in his garage. But it sounds like an incredible album. I'll have to look it up.
Soybeans or something?
They're chickpeas. They're dried chickpeas with.
Can I try that partially popped popcorn?
Absolutely.
Oh my God. Oh, goodness, that's good.
And there's amazing tomatoes in there. It's a new sprout. No, they're really sweet.
Stuff's made by dentists.
Those chickpeas, though. I can't believe I was chewing on them. I just had another crown put back in.
When was this, Neil Young's work released?
Mark Maron, yeah. I don't know how the interview was. But it just sounds like it's kind of a song.
Nice.
A lot of fun. Ambient sounds through the whole thing.
Let's go over to your house, get really high, and listen to it in the living room.
Yeah.
With your wife.
We'll have to go down to this.
That's where we always used to go.
The man cave.
A whole lot of seating right there, right now.
Let's choke up and spin some discs.
That's gone.
Good. Feel better?
Oh,
it's good. You look about 50 pounds lighter.
Yeah, right. It's a mess at our house. The hoarder's delight is just
oh my.
I have all these credits on iTunes. People would just give me, you know, like these iTunes cards and stuff. And I have all these credits, and I'm just trying to figure out. I've had them for years. What should I download?
Satsang with a crunch.
Serious crunch. Got to arrive with good teeth at this satsang.
Crickets and cicadas and whatever those are. Are they crickets? They're what?
Katie did.
Mm-hmm.
Make their sounds and we make our crunchy sounds.
They got us way outnumbered.
What's the point about talking about non-duality when you can crunch on some popcorn nuts?
And then laugh at yourself about it. On YouTube.
Any questions?
It's funny because when you, it's like the closer you get to this, the less possibility there is of coming up with anything that really means anything. Like meaning just kind of floats out to sea.
Oh, if you do, you're pretty well sure that that's not it.
But you can't help but notice like the constriction and the grasping at it. And just that in itself shows you, well, it can't really be any absolute meaning. I got to hold on to it so freaking tight to have that particular framework I can't really hold much weight anyway.
It's unnerving to be released from implication.
Yeah.
It would be disorienting, but if you're not oriented anymore, I guess there's no need for it to be disorienting.
The ability to orient and the framework to orient around, little by little, just kind of goes away. I mean, I was a big time vegetarian. I used to host potlucks and was pretty strict. It wasn't long in Night Sky that the three of us ended up at Moo Burger. I had my first hamburger in like 15 years.
Well, I wouldn't mind smoking your pot and hoping I could get lucky.
And it wasn't necessarily Night Sky that did it, but it was kind of like the framework and the whole meaning and the identity that went around that was just gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, you're a rare bird of all the circles you and, you know, the rest of us have participated in. You can see how few people get thrown out of that consciousness to consider something as bizarre as this.
It's totally lacking in all respects.
We're just totally lacking in all respects.
That's why we got to have snacks.
Yeah.
That's all we got left.
Man, yeah. And people can't handle that. It's a lack in all respects.
Yeah.
That's...
Yeah.
Yeah. Give me something I can build a self around.
It's a bit much. Emptiness is a bit much. I know.
I mean, something
to hold on
to. Yeah.
This is infuriating. We know.
So what you're saying is,
right.
It's yeah. Always that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's right.
You say there's blah, blah, blah. Boy, I still have some curiosity. Like, what is this book about? I assume it's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. Yeah, it's Tuesday. What else could it be? This okay, book about
read us a bedtime story.
I think so.
Yeah, read us a story.
Yeah, let's get into children's literature.
I like the dinosaur thing. Just if you're happy and you know it, clap your
pretty cute.
Wow,
this is pretty wild.
You're taking this radiant presence thing pretty much as far as it can go. Mm. Read us a story.
Yeah. Yeah. Snacks and reach doors to each other.
Yeah. We need to get around to the community.
I know.
Very nice.
No, I want to join your group.
I'm just going to stand first. Man, I'm not high enough to... I got to get high before I look at this again.
Okay.
He's asking for something.
We can work that out.
Yeah, forget this whole yoga thing. We'll just get high and read some stories.
That would be a popular group.
I mean, look at that.
Nice.
I mean, that's worth hanging in the living room.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
How'd you know to pick out that book?
I don't know. It called him.
Called him.
Look at the frogs, man.
It's really
so nice. They're non-dual frogs.
Look at that guy.
I see.
Feeding the PB&J.
And the frogs are peeking in the window at him.
Oh. There
it is. Look at
that guy. Yeah. I think he secretly wants to be a preschool teacher. Because he's got the thing going.
Sure.
Yeah.
I wish I just got high and was a preschool teacher, but instead I got a job.
Well, the dog is into it. Well,
kind of. Frog riding the dog?
They were running.
I didn't put together until today, but is Weird Uncle Ernie named after the new thing?
I thought they squished wrong.
I would imagine.
That would be bad. We shouldn't
don't say that. Oh, wait.
I know. Who's the pervert?
He's the molester who fiddles.
Cool.
Fiddle about.
That's a nice book.
Yeah.
Is it all just pictures?
Like,
this is what we're...
Your Uncle Ernie, and I welcome you to Tommy's Holiday Camp.
This can't be good.
No. Oh, boy. Yeah. It took 10 years.
I wonder if comes out. I wonder if Wednesday's going to come out.
Yeah.
Have to turn the nose.
Fiddling about.
Ain't going to fiddle no more.
Third in the series.
Well, that was a nice round of questions. Next.
That's the way we ask questions.
I don't know. Is it me? Can I convey, explain this stuff with such pristine clarity?
Evidently,
something must be going on.
Yeah,
that's why I need new meat. Every once in a while, you need some new meat so someone can say, what?
That's right.
I don't know.
What are those people that were
we can say what?
Smoke weed and hang out at the campfire?
Yeah.
They never came back.
Why would they?
Once again.
Yeah. There's no point in being nice to people.
No, they might have hit a curmudgeon wall or something.
No.
It's so damn hot.
I walked outside today and my glasses all fogged up.
Yeah.
The farm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
It was absolutely pouring down pockets for like the whole way from, you know, let's say Flemington, New Jersey, down to just north of Doylestown. Mm.
Yeah,
oh.
Yeah, I was getting the bucket. And then I come here and I'm like,
Over onto the main, you know, 202 with Four Lane Park, and then it just sort of, and then I get home and it's like sunshine. I mean, I went home because I thought the basement would have flooded. You know, hadn't flooded for a year the whole time we lived there, and then the last couple of weeks ago, it flooded.
Oh, no.
Yeah, with all the stuff, boxes on the floor.
Oh, no.
So we had to throw mattress out.
Wow.
And I'm thinking,
that's just God helping you unload.
Yeah, we'll get it all wet.
So yeah, I didn't. It wasn't that bad. I mean, it seemed like it was bad, but it
didn't. Yeah, really. Hello, God. What's on your mind?
I'm sorry, but...
Really. Can we talk about this or what?
Not okay.
Are you like paying attention to this shit?
Wait,
you just create it and walk away? What the fuck? God, come back. Really, it didn't turn out like you'd think. Come back.
I know, if you think this is, like, based on your behavior, it's, like, horrific because you're, like, you know, you just find yourself in a horror scene and you're, like, what did I do to deserve this?
Yeah.
It's, like, nothing. This doesn't have anything to do with you.
There's something very profound about kind of getting, you've given it your best. And when you're still sucking wind and you've given it your best, it's like the game is up. My story is always if I just try harder or do it better, whatever. I don't believe that shit anymore.
Try harder and do it better?
Yeah.
Well, the Night Sky Sangha has been of some service to you.
Boy, that is a low flame, man. That's still a low burning? Energy flame.
It's a low energy flame. That's what happens when you get a cheap candle, I guess.
It's just
every time I can. Some candles, like, it's not even the cheapness. It just, you get lucky with some and not lucky with others. Candles are pretty
I think it's all in the wick.
It's all in the wick.
That's what she said.
Real mature. Wavering our maturity levels to down.
I heard what I said to the three.
We were
young,
doing so good.
The three young firemen in my bedroom today.
What?
What? I need to hear more about this.
No, I was like, what?
I live over two businesses, so I have a hardwired alarm to the fire department. And for some reason, it went off today for no reason. I was just sitting there minding my own business. Turns out there was dust in it. So the cops, they have to come, and they have to come in the house. So they're all geared up, and they're like 20. Three guys with tanks and shit. And they're like, we'll come check it out. My bedroom's like 10 by 10. And they're in there. And they're like, you know, cleaning the thing off. And I'm like,
you guys know this is like fancy. But
that's what I said, no, this is
don't
like,
leave.
I'm like the plot of the
I don't
bad
forget channel. Everything.
And they were like, oh, the weird old one. Yeah. Like, oh, well.
If you guys
I tried.
Yeah, no, I was just like, you know, it was just weird having three.
I think it's funny as shit.
Beer in my bedroom.
Yeah.
Which is small.
Right.
Yeah. I'm standing there like, yeah, you know.
I would have jumped on the bed and just lit right up. I love you guys.
I like they were like socially awkward. I just say something and they're like, I'm like, no, that's no fun.
And I told Kyla, I was like, yeah, I said that. And she's like, of course you did.
Oh, your daughter loves you.
Of course you said something horribly awkward and inappropriate.
I love that comment. Why wouldn't I think it's great.
Someone had to say it.
Yeah.
It's better it was you than one of them.
Yeah, well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, well, you know, it wasn't really harassing because the power didn't come in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's not there for me.
That's right. It was safe for you to say it. Yeah, exactly.
It's really disgusting when you're, like, in a situation where everybody's trying to be, well, that's by definition awkward and everybody's trying to be appropriate. Like, stop tipping or toeing around and just, like, say something appropriate that's really off the wall.
Well, thanks for coming, Sparky.
You bet.
Sparky.
We'll see you again soon.
Yeah. Okay. Good to see you coming around more now that you've got a household. Yeah. I love it.
I like the red ones.
I was going to Mr. Rogers. I was just going to my room.
Tomorrow. That song? No.
I'm thinking Mr. Green.
You know, Mr. Rogers.
I wasn't Mr. Rogers. It was something else.
Oh.
I don't know. Clamming up in here.
Well, instead of transmission, it's more like convection.
We're talking hot air, is that what you mean? Convection works pretty damn well. If you've ever had a convection oven, you can cook stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they're great.
I had a convection toaster oven and I made my toast too crunchy and I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. Try it out.
Our big convection oven cooks stuff so fast. It's amazing.
Sure does.
Is it true that my flip-flops are in your car?
Yep, they are.
My mysterious flip-flop that walked away and I just went home barefoot because I couldn't find them.
Wow. Really? Yeah, I have them.
They disappeared.
I do.
Yeah. Best of all, her sisters and wore them and take their wounds, so I didn't wear
them. Oh, okay.